So, Lord, would help me this morning and grant you prayerful attention. I'll direct you to a text you'll find in Psalm 91. Psalm 91, and reading again at verse 9. The 91st Psalm, and reading again at the 9th verse. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. This psalm is perhaps singular for the protection that it attributes to God over his people. It is a very high note of assurance. If we are truly found amongst those that dwell in the secret place of the Most High, that abide in the shadow of the Almighty. This is the testimony of a soul that is brought to make the Lord their refuge. And unto them God says, because thou hast made me thy refuge, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. We do not know the author of this psalm, nor the exact context. Some have tried to say that it was David that wrote this psalm after the events that we had before us a few Sabbath evenings ago, when we considered the plague that was brought upon the people in the judgment of God because David had sinned in numbering the people. But we personally do not feel that this psalm can have been written then, because here we read of the judgment upon the wicked, but David notes in that experience the people were innocent, and that's what made it a very heavy thing unto him, that innocent souls were suffering because of his sin, as he viewed it, and so he entreated the Lord that the plague would be stayed. But the previous psalm being written by Moses, some have attributed this unto Moses, and certainly we can think of at least two occasions in the life of Moses, in the wanderings of the children of Israel, when this psalm was very appropriate. And the first occasion you'll find in the book of Exodus, when Moses being up in the mountain, Mount Sinai, the children of Israel wandered from the Lord. They said, as to this Moses, we wot not what is become of him. They asked Aaron to make them a calf, and they worshipped the calf and said, these are our gods that brought us forth out of the land of Egypt. They were certainly not making the Lord God their refuge. They were certainly not dwelling in the secret place of the Most High, nor abiding under the shadow of the Almighty. And the Lord came forth unto Moses and showed them what was going on. And coming down to the base of the mount, he put forth that almighty question. Who is on the Lord's side? Who is on the Lord's side? Who among you is not found going after this calf, but is abiding in the shadow of the Most High? And we know the house of Levi came forth to stand with Moses. And they were told for to go forth and to slay the children of Israel. But they were not to be slain, because they were found trusting alone in the Lord God. And perhaps that was the occasion which called forth this psalm. But friends, we would think of a more singular occasion in the travelling of the children of Israel, when those two, Caleb and Joshua, who were sent forth with the other spies to spy out the promised land, they brought back a good report, while the others brought back an evil report, and they told the people, the promised land was possessed with giants, and fear filled the hearts of the people. They were not found trusting in the Lord God to fulfil his promise, to bring them into the promised land, alone by his outstretched arm and by his almighty power. But their hearts failed them for fear, and they believed the spies had brought back an evil report, rather than Joshua and Caleb, who brought back a good report. And we know that the Lord sent forth that plague, as it were, among the children of Israel. Every one of them was to pass away and to die without entering into the promised land. But those two, Joshua and Caleb, who had trusted in the Lord and put their faith alone in him, believing that he was able to bring them into the land, believing that he would fulfill his word concerning them, they were spared. And truly it could be said of them that 1,000 shall fall at thy side and 10,000 at thy right hand. The whole of the children of Israel, bar those two dear men, to pass away before they entered into the promised land, another generation to rise up, who knew not Egypt, to enter into the promised land. Oh, if ever there was an evidence that those who put their trust in the Lord will have mercy upon, and those who have found their hearts failing them because of fear, unbelief, the Lord will deal with them according to their unbelief. We see it there set before us in that account. And undoubtedly it could have been said unto Joshua and Caleb, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. Oh, to be found this morning, Joshua's and Caleb's, among the church, among the children of the world, trusting alone in the Lord. Oh, where does that solemn question find us? Who is on the Lord's side? Who among us are found in this first verse? He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Oh, friends, what a solemn question. Where is your hope this morning? Where is your trust? Where is my hope? Where is my trust? Oh, what solemn creatures we are, filled with unbelief, filled with many fears. But the Lord is the same. The same yesterday, today and forever. He delivered thee in troubles in the past. Oh, does that not forbid you to think this morning he'll leave you at last in troubles to sink? Oh, he has said that in six troubles he will deliver thee, in seven no evil shall touch thee. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. But then, friends, before we come to the heart of the matter, we would just say this psalm, attribute this psalm as a messianic psalm. Well, we know that the devil quoted the words of this psalm unto our Lord Jesus Christ when he tempted him, for he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. Perhaps not a messianic psalm in the way that most of the accepted messianic psalms are regarded as being messianic, direct prophecy fulfilled in the New Testament, but certainly a word here quoted by the devil, and rightly quoted, concerning the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. And some would simply apply this psalm entirely to the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, as though it speaks alone of Christ. We know that Christ trusted in his Father. From his mother's womb, while he was upon his breast, we read his mother's breast in the 22nd psalm, he trusted in the Lord God. And we certainly do not read that our Lord was subject to any of the plagues, any of the diseases that have sprung forth from sin, because he was holy, harmless, undefiled and separate from sinners. But oh, friends, if this applies to Christ, must it not also in measure apply also unto his people, to his church? As unto the head, so also unto the body. That as we are found in Christ, the life that we now live, we live by the faith of Jesus Christ. Christ in us, Christ for us, Christ with us. Oh, friends, this is how the Lord's people live. Oh, what a blessed thing it is when faith can get hold upon that fact. Christ is in me this morning, Christ is for me, and Christ is with me. Oh, friends, if we can believe that, then we must fear nothing that shall come upon us. Christ in me, Christ for me, Christ with me. Oh, friends, what a blessed motto that is. It is the motto of Paul, the motto of the Apostle Paul. It is the motto of the Church of God. Oh, Christ, be informed in us the hope of glory. He has promised, and his promise cannot fail. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And if God be for us, who can be against us? What can be against us? Oh, the participle there in the Greek really should be read what? Friends, it's not just men, not just women that rise up against the Lord's people. But in every circumstance, there is no circumstance which can ever be named that if God be for us, Christ being for us, nothing can be against us. And in many ways, that is a doctrine that we have in our psalm here this morning. Oh, Christ for us, Christ in us, Christ with us, and with Christ in the vessel, we smite at the storm. As we come to consider these words more closely, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. Firstly, we would say this, these words are not easy to translate, and if you look up in the Verdian translations that have been made of them, you'll find remarkable differences. But we believe that the meaning of them is this. We have a confession of faith on the part of the church. They are saying unto the Lord that he alone is their refuge. And in reply, the Lord says, because on the ground of the profession of your faith, this is what you will find. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. Oh, friends, we receive the blessings into our souls. We receive the promises. As the sweet hand of faith is enabled to lay hold upon them, we receive the reward of faith. Oh, the vital necessity of real faith. Oh, friends, without it we are dead. Without it we are dead. Without it we have no hope. And what a solemn thing that is. Ah, friends, but where faith has been given, where faith has been worked in the soul by the Lord's people, though damped, and oh, how damped it may appear to be in your soul this morning, many fears. Your old nature telling you you're a fool for coming to the house of God. Many may rise up against you. Oh, friends, how damped faith sometimes becomes. But though damped, it never dies. It is a divine principle. A divine principle. It is the fruit, the working of the Holy Ghost, a grace. A grace which is worked in us. It is named amongst the fruits of the Spirit. And all, friends, faith can only fail if God can fail, because it is worked in us by the Holy Ghost. But how vitally necessary that faith is. Without faith, oh, friends, without faith we have nothing. He that believeth shall never be ashamed, says the Apostle. He that believeth shall never be ashamed. That is the reward of faith. But friends, the opposite of that is this. He that is found without faith, he that doth not believe, shall be forever ashamed, and shall feel and prove their shame while they are found here upon this earth, in the fears that come upon them, and the eternity of that shame, oh, in separation and suffering, the eternal wrath and anger of God. But he that believeth shall never be ashamed. Why? Why? Because, friends, the Lord rewards faith. And what a reward he gives unto it. As we were considering recently, that dear woman that approached unto him, her faith very tried. Friends, he moved away from her. She followed after, she cried. The disciples tried to shut her up. But still she continued crying unto him. And then he appeared to answer her very roughly. He did not tell the disciples to desist, but he told her, that he was not come but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And she was a Syrophoenician, a Greek, not worthy that he should have mercy upon her. Then he told her, it is not meet to give unto the dogs the children's bread. She said, truth, Lord, but the dogs eat from the crumbs which fall from the master's table. Oh, her faith, though tried, it received that blessing. He had not... dear woman, great is thy faith. Go in peace. Oh, friends, her faith had made her whole. Her faith had healed her daughter. Her faith does receive its reward. He that believeth shall not be ashamed. And what a precious, precious reward there is here. Oh, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge. Oh, that's a confession of faith. The Lord is my refuge. And because thou hast made the Lord thy refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. Oh, friends, what an almighty if that is in that verse that I've already quoted to you this morning. If God be for us, what can be against us? Oh, friends, there's an almighty if in our text this morning. Is the Lord God alone our refuge today? Is he our strength in time of trouble? Or are we found trusting in our own strength? Are we found fleeing everywhere but unto him? Oh, friends, if the Lord is alone is our strength, if the Lord alone is our refuge, then he has promised to bless us in life and in eternity to come. But if, friends, if we are found afar off from him this morning, if we know him not, then we have no part in this verse, and what a solemn thing it is. There shall no evil befall thee. Oh, friends, just as it is for the Lord's people, no evil. The opposite comes upon all those that are found outside of Christ. Friends, every evil, and at last, that eternal evil, the blackness of darkness forever. And everything, just as everything works for the good of the Lord's people. Oh, friends, everything works for evil in the hearts of the wicked. You say to me, but I look upon the wicked this morning and they're receiving many blessings. Oh, they seem to walk along as Asaph saw, no bands in their death. The wicked man prospereth. Perhaps you're with another psalm. You've seen the wicked flourishing as a green bay tree. Oh, but friends, remember this. Then understood I their end. That was what Asaph understood. Oh, what does that mean? Asaph was brought to realize that all the blessings they were receiving were working for their greater condemnation. Oh, friends, what a solemn thing it is. The blessings of the wicked receive, they are working for their greater condemnation. Why? Because they have received many blessings from the hands of God. And yet at that last great day, he shall say, I never knew you, depart from me. Oh, when was I an hungered and thou fedst me? When was I naked and thou didst clothe me, in prison and thou didst visit me? Oh, but it is better, the little that a righteous man hath, better than the riches of many wicked. Why? Oh, because as they are found identified with Christ, everything must work for their good. And in that last great day, they shall hear to their surprise. When I was hungered, thou didst feed me. Naked, thou didst clothe me. In prison, thou didst visit me. Oh, enter into the eternal joy of the presence of Christ forever. Oh, if God be for us, if the Lord is our refuge this morning, if he alone is our strength, then there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. But then, friends, we want to come to notice what this does not mean. I said on Wednesday evening, I stand by what I said, that there is no word in the word of God that promises the Lord's people an easy pathway to heaven, that promises us this morning that we are immune from the virus that has gone forth in the world. Oh, we are told in this world we shall have tribulation, and though we may read that largely concerning the spiritual tribulation which the Lord's people will prove. Oh, the mighty enemies within, nevertheless, the Lord's people are not promised that they will walk through this world free from trouble. How, therefore, do we reconcile these two things? How do we reconcile our text this morning with the evident truth that we find within the Word of God and that we may prove within our own lives? Oh, as we look within the Word of God, remember this, friends, when the plagues are sent forth among the upon the land of Egypt, it would appear that certainly the early plagues, they were ubiquitous throughout the land. They came upon the Egyptians as well as upon the Israelites. Why? Oh, friends, because the Israelites needed to realize that this is the finger of God as well. The Israelites had to be brought to that place where they would obey Moses and follow him. And I feel undoubtedly that is one of the reasons why the hand of God had to be seen upon the whole land. But then God did separate between the Israelites and between the Egyptians. And in some of the plagues, he specifically told Pharaoh that he would put his hand upon the Egyptian only, that they might know, that Pharaoh might know the Israelites were separated unto the Lord. Oh, you see, friends, a God, he can cause the plague to come upon his people as well upon the people of the world. And he can stay it from coming upon them, that it might be evidence that they are among the Lord's people. But we can think of other cases in the Word of God. Oh, friends, Isaiah, Hezekiah, as Isaiah brought that word unto him, that he should prepare to meet his God, for thou shalt die and not live. Oh, friends, Hezekiah was not free from sickness. But all the testimony of the Lord's people with Hezekiah, by these things men live, and in all these things is the life of my spirit. I believe Hezekiah could say, yes, this word is true concerning me, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. And many other examples that we can think of in the Church of God down through the ages. Oh, friends, the church has not been immune from trouble. The persecuted church, the martyrs. Oh, they were not given some immunity from trouble that should come upon them. And in times of plague, the Lord's people taken as well as the people of the world. In times of war, being a Christian did not protect you from being killed on the battlefields of the First World War nor the Second World War. Nevertheless, you read the accounts of those men, and they proved this word to be a blessing unto them. Our text this morning must not be taken by any hearers, meaning that simply because they are found amongst the Lord's people, they can expect to be kept free from the flu, to be kept free from the virus that has gone forth among us. And I would not have you to read it in such a way, because thou hast made the Lord God, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. But then, friends, you may say to me, well, what does this mean? What does this mean? Well, friends, firstly, I believe it assures the Lord's people of this. Not a single shaft can hit till the God of love sees fit. If we ever needed illustrations of the control of God, we find them in this psalm. Oh, friends, I ask you this morning, do you believe that everything that is coming to pass is in control, in the Lord's control? But you see, this is how accurate the Lord's control is, if I may put it this way. This is how minute the controlling hand of the Lord is in the providential circumstances of his people. 1,000 shall fall at thy side and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come near thee. It shall not come nigh thee. Oh, friends, if that's not controlling, what is? What is? As a scientist, I am so often interested in the degree of accuracy. If you brought me a figure from your scientific research, my question would be, how accurate is that figure? How many decimal places can you legitimately take that to? Because, friends, you can put any number into a calculator and you can come up with a string of decimal places. But if your measure is not accurate enough to measure it to that degree of decimal places, then the numbers after the decimal point are absolutely meaningless. Everything hangs upon accuracy. How accurate is it? Oh, you know, friends, you may count 1 in 100 as being accurate. But here we have 1 in 1,000, 1 in 10,000. Oh, you see, friends, the accuracy of the control of God. God can cause a plague to come upon 10,000 at thy right hand, but it not come near thee. Nothing happens by chance, you see. Nothing happens by chance. You say to me, the epidemiologists, they say that your likelihood of catching it if you're surrounded by 10,000 people is X. Friends, they may say that, but above all the rules of epidemiology, above all the probabilities that are calculated by scientists, is the hand of God. And in this psalm, the Lord's people are assured of this, the hand of God. God has everything in control. And friends, he has everything in control to such a degree that 1,000 shall fall at thy side and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Oh, friends, what a blessed comfort this is. Oh, is the Lord God your refuge this morning in this circumstance? Plagues and deaths around me fly till he bids, I cannot die. Not a single shaft can hit till the God of love sees it. Oh, I believe when I was producing that book on the Strip Baptist during the First World War, I believe this was a comfort that some of the soldiers found in this verse. 10,000 shall fall at thy side, 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. It wasn't always certainty they wouldn't be killed, because some of them were. Oh, but the blessed comfort rested in this: not a single shaft can hit till the God of love sees it, because God is in control. Oh, friends, do you believe that this morning? Do I believe it? Do I believe it? Do I believe that if it is his sovereign purpose that the virus should wipe out everyone in Brighton, nevertheless, if it is his sovereign good pleasure, he can spare me? Oh, conversely, friends, if it is his good pleasure that the whole of Brighton should be spared and I alone should be taken, he can still perform that almighty act. Oh, you see, friends, it's a miracle. The finger of God. The finger of God. The fleece wet upon the dry ground and the dry fleece upon the dewy ground. Oh, friends, God is able to perform. He controls. He controls. Thrice comfortable hope that calms my stormy breast. The Father's hand prepares the cup, and what he wills is best. The fixture's powers of chance and fortune I defy. My life's minutest circumstance is subject to his all. And all, friends, in this sense, you see, the Lord's people can rest. They can rest assured of this, and no evil shall befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. Ah, everything under the control of God. Everything under the control of God. Oh, what a blessed place it is when we can rest upon this, believing, believing that he is able to preserve, that he controls everything, and nothing shall happen by chance. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. We would also say, friends, oh, the universal nature of this. The universal nature of this. This psalm, it names varying situations, doesn't it? Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noise and pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. Oh, by day, by night, with noise, with silence. Oh, friends, whatever it may be, whatever circumstance, the psalmist here appears to be straining at the universal nature of this rule. Oh, every aspect. Every aspect of the life of the Lord's people, the life of the church, oh, is within the hands of God, controlled by him, bound up by him to this end, that everything shall work together for our good, because it is working together for the honour and the glory of God. And his honour and his glory, oh, must be our good. But then, friends, the second thing we would say here is the emphasis that we should put upon this word: there shall no evil befall thee. There shall no evil befall thee. Oh, friends, this is evil in a narrow sense. The Lord, as we have said, he said unto his disciples, in this world ye shall have tribulation. Oh, but friends, what is evil? What is evil? That is the question, isn't it? As we're born into this world, evil is anything that touches I. Evil is anything that touches our possessions. Evil is anything that does harm to those whom we love. But oh, as we are brought by grace, as we are brought by grace to realise, oh, that we are sin, worthy only of everlasting evil, worthy only of everlasting death, because the wages of sin is death. As we receive grace, oh, mercy and pardon through the precious blood of Jesus Christ, oh, friends, we see evil then in a different light, don't we? We see evil in a different light. The evil is no longer measured by the things that come upon us in time. The evil is no longer measured by the things that come upon us in providence. Oh, friends, everything then is good as it comes forth from the hands of a gracious God. Oh, to those who fear the Lord, to those that love him, every bitter thing is sweet, we read. Every bitter thing is sweet. And all the sweetness the Lord's people have to prove as the Lord works in their hearts submission under the hardest dispensation. Oh, if only they can get this sight that it is his hand. Oh, that he is controlling all things. That it is the Father's hand that has prepared the cup and what he wills is best. Then every bitter thing is sweet. Every bitter thing is sweet. Oh, the bud may have a bitter taste, but the faith believes that sweet will be the flower. All things shall work together for our good. For our good. Then, friends, what is evil? Oh, evil is this. That come what may upon us in this life, we go into a crowd. We go into a place where there is no sea, nothing to trouble the Lord's people. We go into a place where the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne, he shall feed us. He shall lead us. He shall wipe all tears from off our faces. And nothing can touch that. Why? Because we are found in this verse, kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time, unto an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for us. And all, friends, as certain as it is reserved in heaven for us, we must be brought there. Therefore, no evil thing can touch us. Oh, friends, we cannot finally be given over unto death. And friends, this is the life belt, isn't it, to the Lord's people? This is a rock upon which we stand. Oh, friends, everything. We may lose everything in this life under the sovereign hand of God. He may touch our nearest and dearest. He may touch our own health. He may take away as he took away from Job. Friends, what did he leave Job with? Nothing. And he'd even taken away his health. Or should I say, he had permitted the devil to do so. His wife said unto him, curse God and die. Oh, but he said, the Lord hath given, the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, no evil thing. There shall no evil befall thee. What was it that comforted Job's heart? For I know that my Redeemer liveth, that he shall stand upon the earth at the latter day. What was it that comforted Job's heart? Oh, when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Did Job know that the Lord was going to restore unto him his health? The Lord was going to restore unto him more than he had before, children. He was going to restore unto him his land. And all his flocks, and that he was going to be a great man again when Job said that? No. But Job knew this. If he went down to the grave in mourning, if he went down to the grave, his boils breaking out upon him, with no air, nevertheless, it would be well. Oh, for when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Oh, friends, what is evil in the estimation of the Lord's people? What is evil? Oh, as we are brought face to face with the fact there is but one thing needful. Easy to say, friends, but how close that comes. There is but one thing needful. Is your health needful? No. Is your wealth needful? No. Is your home needful? No. Your family needful? No. Oh, friends, everything we rest upon. But it has to fall before the words of Jesus. There is but one thing needful. And Mary hath found that good part which shall not be taken away from her. And Mary was in our text, there shall no evil befall thee. Oh, though we suffer the loss of all things for Christ, he will never take away our all himself. He gives us still. And in this light, oh, as we view this text, not with the eyes of nature, not with the natural mind, carnal reason, but as we view it with the eye of grace, as faith has to come and confess, Lord, there is but one thing needful. That is what it is, isn't it, to make the Lord our refuge, the Most High, our habitation, to come and truly to be enabled to confess, I could from all things parted be, and never, never, Lord, from thee. Oh, friends, I preach high things. Don't think that I think they're easy. It's a standard, friends, which I feel so rarely I am unable to live up to. But, oh, what a precious thing it is when the Lord gives faith. Ah, when he gives us the one thing needful, when we hold Jesus Christ in our hands, when we clasp him and twine, as the hymn writer says, forever united to Jesus of thine. Oh, when we can truly say, I could from all things parted be, but never, never, Lord, from thee. And as he has given unto his people that promise, and as faith is enabled to rest upon it, lo, I am with you always. Even unto the end of the world, Christ in me, Christ for me, Christ with me. Oh, friends, it must be well, come what may. Oh, the loss of health, the loss of possessions, the loss of all for Christ's sake. Yet this text shall still be true, there shall no evil befall thee. This, friends, is what the professor cannot understand. This is what the world outside cannot understand. They do not want a religion which has but one thing needful. They want to have Jesus Christ and everything else. And our old nature is just the same. We can't throw stones. Oh, but friends, when we are subdued by sovereign grace, sitting at his feet, clothed in our right mind, oh, when we're enabled to confess, there is but one thing needful. Oh, and to flee away to that one thing needful, to enter in at the straight gate, to cleave alone to Jesus Christ, to plead nothing but thy blood, O Jesus, can do helpless sinners good, to look alone unto him, to come alone to him for refuge. Then this is true, there shall no evil befall thee, and neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. Ah, friends, nothing can come upon us except it receives the admission of the Father, except God should permit. Everything that comes upon us is in his hand. Nothing comes by chance. And all, friends, here is the totality of this verse in this. Nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Oh, as we read those beautiful words in Romans 8. Oh, you see, friends, this is the truth that our text is written over this morning, the foundation of our text. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword, or COVID-19, or whatever you might like to name? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. Oh, friends, you see, we are killed all the day long. That's how far it may come. 1,000 at thy right hand, thy side, thy right hand, 10,000 at thy side. Ah, so close. But we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded. Oh, friends, are we persuaded this morning? Am I persuaded? Are you persuaded? Is this the foundation we're building upon in this time of trouble? That neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. What a refuge. What a refuge. Oh, nothing to fear, you see. All the while faith can lay hold upon this. Come what may, it must, and it shall be well. There shall no evil befall thee. Oh, friends, no plague shall come nigh thy dwelling. Sin. Oh, indwelling sin. The power of old nature, the things that wrestle, the things that get us and shake us. And oh, friends, the Lord only knows how much you may be being shaken by present circumstances. The trial of your faith, oh, friends, is painful. Painful. When all around my soul gives way. Oh, friends, are you there this morning? Oh, that's how close, how universal it has to come. When all around my soul gives way, we tremble, we shake, we fear. The future looks back. But in that moment, Jesus alone, our strength and stuff, to fall, as the late dear pastor here said that he fell, into the hands, the everlasting arms. Oh, friends, that is where it is to fall, and safe in the arms of Jesus. There shall no evil before thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. But then, friends, we want to say this. This is true concerning the church. If it is not true, or if you may fear, what if I should be taken away by the virus? How will this word have been fulfilled concerning me? Friends, it is true concerning the church. True concerning the church at last. Nothing shall come upon the earth which shall entirely wipe out the church. The church shall ever stand safe, secure, It doesn't mean that individual members of the church will not pass away. It doesn't mean that the plague may not visit this place and take away a good portion of the congregation, but the church shall be preserved. And even here, or if the candlestick should be taken away here, then we have to live in certainty that the church of God stands upon a rock. Upon this rock I build my church, and not all the powers of hell shall stand against it, shall prevail against it. Ah, friends, everything that comes upon this earth, persecution upon the church. Oh, that which is above persecution, that which knows no boundaries by land, no boundaries by jurisdiction, which is without the control of man, which has written upon it the finger of God. Ah, no plague shall come nigh thy dwelling. No evil shall befall the church. The church stands upon the rock, and it will stand unto the end of time. It may come down very small. It may come down to 1,000 which had not bowed their knees unto Baal. It may come down to Noah and the 8 that went into the ark. But this is certainly true concerning the church of God. The church of God, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. But then, friends, I must go as far as the word of God goes. It is true that this is not a guarantee that plague will not come near our dwelling, nor that no evil shall befall us, as it is viewed as evil, not that evil that I've been trying to speak of, or that evil, the evils of sin and the punishment which is due unto sin, eternal death. But friends, we know that there have been many of the saints which have found a refuge in this word in the past, and it has proved to be true concerning them. My mind went in my study yesterday to Spurgeon. I don't think I read it in his Treasury of David, but just looking in there yesterday, I found it again in there. But he speaks of being in a time in his early pastorate when he was surrounded by cholera, and he visited the varying homes, and he got to a point where he felt utterly fatigued and at the end of his mental strength, surrounded by death and so many funerals, and he feared the plague would come nigh him. But he saw these words written on a shop window: because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. And the Holy Spirit in that moment applied them to his soul. Friends, faith believed. Faith believed. And laying hold upon those words, he went in the strength of the Lord God and was preserved and continued in his work. Friends, John Berridge, I think also, if you read his life in his quaint way, he says that this was his insurance policy concerning his garden shed, I think. Well, the Lord gave him these words when there was a fire in the neighbourhood which looked like it was going to take his shed. He said it was his insurance policy. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. But friends, we would say this: oh, it is only the insurance policy of the saints as faith takes hold upon it. Oh, motto texts, they will not do any of the Lord's people any good. And I may quote this word to you this morning. I may preach from it, but oh, except faith in my soul is enabled to take hold upon it, except it is applied with the power of the Holy Ghost. Then, friends, there is no life in the word. But I do believe in the past there have certainly been those to whom this word has been particularly applied, given as a promise to them by the Lord, personally, individually, in time of trouble. Oh, you see, friends, this is the fine line between faith and fatalism, isn't it? Oh, may we not be left amongst those that fatalistically just read this word and say, well, there's a promise to the Lord's people, therefore I can carry on as I like. I need not take any precautions. There shall no plague come nigh my dwelling. But oh, as the poor fearful child of God has to approach unto the throne of grace and confess their fears, confess their unbelief. Oh, and plead for mercy and plead for a refuge a refuge place in Christ and plead they might be granted submission to his most holy will, and plead that the Lord will be a God unto them, that they might feel that underneath are the everlasting arms. Oh, if the Lord should apply this promise to us with power, with the power of his grace, then I am certain of this, we can go in the strength of it, and we will prove it to be true. Oh, but friends, the only thing that separates the one and the other, God-given faith. Oh, that but, that if God be for us, what can be against us? If God be for us, what can be against us? Oh, friends, our text this morning calls us to examine ourselves. And what a close examination it must be in the face of eternity, in the face of an uncertain future. All the events that have come to pass even during the past week. Friends, the last week seems to me to have been a month or even like a year. It almost seems a distant memory now of normal life. So quickly have things come to pass, almost every day, some new development. Oh, our lives so taken up with it. We are reminded and reminded of the solemn truth. We know not what a moment or an hour may bring forth. We know not whether by next Lord's Day the government should have passed legislation that public worship should be closed. We know not whether we shall be able to gather in his courts again because of that which has gone forth. And we know not whether at any moment we shall begin to show symptoms of this terrible virus. Oh, friends, we gather. If we have never felt we've gathered before in the face of eternity, we must come to ask this solemn question. Oh, are we made a real Christian? Because what is it to be made a real Christian? What is it to be made a real Christian is to be found in this first verse. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Because thou hast made the Lord, even the Most High, thy habitation. Oh, friends, that's what it is to be saved by grace. As we love to quote those words of the marriage service, forsaking all other and cleaving alone unto him. Oh, I ask you this morning, is Jesus' blood thine only plea? Is he thy grateful runaway? Oh, friends, that is the only safety. Oh, but then in that tremendous day beneath his sheltering blood, oh, we'll prove that Jordan's icy waves divide and we'll be landed safe with God. But without him, oh, friends, it's just the same as the night that the plague went forth in the land of Egypt. Oh, each of the Israelites sheltered beneath the precious blood upon the lintel. They could sleep soundly upon their beds. They could say, and say with certainty, the certainty given to them by precious faith upon the precious blood alone. Oh, friends, it wasn't presumption. It wasn't upon the ground that they were Israelites. It wasn't upon the ground that they'd been brought up amongst the Lord's people. It wasn't upon the ground that they thought the Lord had a general good purpose and promise towards them. No, they needed the blood individually, personally upon their doorposts. And if the blood was not found there, then they were slain the same as the Egyptians. Oh, but the precious blood being found upon the doorpost, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Oh, friends, they could sleep well. They could sing. As we've tried to sit here before you in the past, they could sing those precious words, I shall not die, but live. And, oh, that they shall live to praise his holy name. I shall not die, but live. Oh, you see, friends, these are the words that can be taken up by them who are found sheltering beneath the precious blood of Jesus, and by them alone. To everyone else they are presumption, but to those who have made the Most High their refuge, oh, that have found refuge under the precious blood of Jesus Christ, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. Oh, we shall be safe. It shall be well with us while life endure, come what may. All things working together for our good, to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And it shall be well in that solemn moment. Solemn moment when we launch in worlds unseen, when our eye strings break in death, when we see him on his judgment throne. Ah, friends, he will be then our rock of ages, sheltering beneath his precious blood. Our Lord will then answer for us. Nothing to pay. Enter into the presence of the Lord. Oh, you see, friends, it is vital. Oh, how stands the case, my soul, with thee? For heaven are thy credentials clear, is Jesus' blood thine only plea, is he thy great forerunner there? Oh, friends, if he is, then we have a prospect of eternal safety. We cannot be lost. Oh, he'll lead them on fair Zion's road, though weary, weak and faint. For oh, they ne'er shall lose their God, nor God e'er lose a saint. That, friends, is the blessed truth that is found within our text this morning. Nothing can separate us. It must be well. It must be well. And therefore, if we can come there by precious faith this morning and find a resting place in Jesus Christ. Oh, we can sweetly smile at the future. We can leave it in his hands, believing that he is in control, believing that everything he brings upon us must work for his good and for our good and for his eternal glory. And thus, oh, we can smile at him and say, thy will be done. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. May the Lord bless his word unto us. Amen.